Scripture this morning is from Psalm 107, 1-3. You can also find it on page 548 in your pew Bible. I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those are redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Say something. Over on the Lord's side. Over on the Lord's side. Ain't you glad on the Lord's side? Ain't you glad on the Lord's side? Come on over on the Lord's side. Come on over on the Lord's side. Peace over here on the Lord's side. Peace over here on the Lord's side. Come on over on the Lord's side. Come on over on the Lord's side. Joy over here on the Lord's side. Joy over here on the Lord's side. Love over here on the Lord's side. Love over here on the Lord's side. Come on over 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 on the Lord's side. Ain't you glad on the Lord's side? Ain't you glad on the Lord's side? Come on over on the Lord's side. Come on over on the Lord's side. Love over here on the Lord's side. Love over here on the Lord's side. Peace over here on the Lord's side. Peace over here on the Lord's side. Come on over on the Lord's side. Come on over on the Lord's side. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad? Come on over. Come on over. Come on over. Come on over.
First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to the pastor, visitors, saints, and friends. This is what my grandmother, Sister Thomas, would say before speaking at our weekly testimony service at Bible Way Holiness Church in Foley, Alabama. She would open with, on the Lord's side. It was a call and response, an invitation to discipleship, come on over, and a call for witnesses. Ain't you glad? She was testifying about the goodness and faithfulness of God, offering words of encouragement to her listeners and seeking our prayers to keep the faith. She asked us to pray her strength in the Lord. It is no different than the New Testament epistles, where in Romans, Paul says, to all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Again, in 1 Corinthians, he writes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the letter to the Galatians, he begins, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And every week it was the same introduction. First, giving honor to God. No praise and worship team, no hymn books, no choir or professionally trained musicians. We led each other in song. We couldn't read music, but we knew how to worship. No sermon. We provided the message. We had no formal theological training, but we had a personal relationship with the God who supplies, who meets all of our needs. No bulletin or program. The order of the service was dependent upon those who stood to declare the goodness of God, the troubles they'd seen, and the ways that God had made when there was no way. No schedule or time constraints. The service was over when we were done witnessing of the strong and mighty hand of God. Oh, this is real fancy. We didn't have a PowerPoint. We didn't have a microphone, which is why I sing so loud. We left encouraged and edified, strengthened by a shared story and fed by the collective hunger of those who had gathered to have a little talk with Jesus. This is so different from what I witnessed today as congregants look to be entertained and excited. We need special parking spots, VIP seating, top billing in ministry, stage lighting and pyrotechnics, sanctuary turned stadium with concession stands. The chief end of humanity is not the glory of God, but to be inspired by ourselves. We want to leave the worship service feeling good, which is not to be confused with feeling the presence of God. Our love for God is overly assumed and underexpressed. Our life with God, poorly recorded as testimony services, are cut from worship experiences and our spiritual expression because we don't have time, or it takes up too much time, or it seems like a poor use of time, or our time could be better spent doing something else. I guess God knows our hearts. You know how I feel. I don't need to say it. You know how much I care about you. You know that I love you. These are the dreaded words persons don't want to hear when they are trying to determine the importance of their relationship. It can sound like non-committal, a lack of investment, or at least an understanding of the importance of expressing one's interest, the declaration of intent and profession of adoration. Of course I love you. I come home every night, don't I? Of course I love you. I pay the bills. Of course I love you. There's a roof over your head. Of course I love you. I'm still here. As I said with the early service, do not re-preach this to your spouse on the drive home. You heard what Pastor said, didn't you? These kinds of proofs are not romantic or reassuring. They do not build a sense of relationship or connection. But don't we say this kind of thing when it comes to our relationship with God? Of course I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sunday. Of course I'm a Christian. I volunteer in the community. Of course I'm a Christian. I give to worthy causes. Of course I'm a Christian. I am eco-friendly, a humanitarian, a philanthropist, a vegetarian, a pacifist, an advocate, and an ally. But when was the last time that you told God, I love you? When was the last time you told someone about your relationship with God? When was the last time that you testified, first giving honor to God who is the head of my life? The psalmist invites us to give thanks for God's goodness, more than repeating God is good all the time and all the time God is good. It is a reminder not to thank God solely for what God has done in our lives, but to express gratitude simply because of who God is. Thank you, God, for being a good God. And while God has certainly been good to us, we are not applauding the works of God's hands, but instead showing appreciation for God's character. God is eternally good, consistently good, holy and solely good. Thank you, God, for being who you are. I love you not because of what you do for me, but because of who you are to me. You are a good God, independent of my evaluation and not based on my experience. Even when I don't express it, news of you is always good. You are so good that if I were to hold my tongue, the rocks would cry out. No vocal cords, no choir rehearsal. They will begin to sing your praises. You are so good that creation cannot keep it together, that it breaks character. No culture, language, or tradition. Creation has somehow grown up with and passed down your praise. No Sunday school classes or worship services. Creation knows fully that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, that the world is God's sanctuary. So then it goes against all of nature not to praise God. So it must be done. And if we're not going to do it, then creation will. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I am not thankful because I am a good person. I am thankful because you are a good God, even when I am not a good person. When I am not on my best behavior, when I am not performing at my Sunday's best, you are still good to me. Amen. When I don't deserve it, when I don't want it, when I rebel against it, and even as I deny it, you are still good to me. Thank you, God. But not only are you always good, but your love is steadfast. God's love is an abiding love, a persistent love, a patient love, a fixed and firm love. It is not a fickle love. For you so loved the world that you gave your son. You will take us as we are, holding nothing of yourself back and picking none of us out of this worldly bunch. I'll take her and him and her. No, you want us all. And you will wait around until we come around, standing at the door of our hearts and knocking, ear pressed firmly against the door, listening for our footsteps. The hymnist George Matheson sang, "Oh, love that will not let me go." It is a durable love, a faithful love, a devoted love, a reliable love. God's love is one that has been tested, and therefore it can be trusted. Word to the wise. Wait until it has been tested. before you trust it. And since God is love and God does not change, it is a love that is unwavering and uncompromising. It is a love that does not flinch or hesitate, a love that does not back down or back up. God's love endures. Eternal, God's love will not stand the test of time. Instead, God's love defines time, A.D. and B.C. No anniversaries or seasons, God's love cannot be pinned down on a calendar associated with a day of the week or time of year. God's love is without limits. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his commandments. It is a love that will not run out, that will not fail us, but will outlast us. It is a love that can be handed down, and it is the only forever love. As God is the only one who is able to love us forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And just in case we are not certain as to who should be giving thanks, the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, let those whom God has saved, whom God has reclaimed, whom God has made amends for, whom God has delivered from sin and brought a mighty long way, testify. Tell the world what the Lord has done for you and where God has brought you from. If God redeemed you, say so. If God redeemed you, speak up. If God redeemed you, say something. Because can't nobody tell it like you can. Unrehearsed, but grateful. Unplanned, but it needs to be said. Fumbling for words, but we know this to be true. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Y'all notice? Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. Is this your testimony? But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Who lifted you? Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help, when nobody was around, when I couldn't get you on the phone. Love, because you were avoiding my phone call because I ain't got time for it today. Love lifted me. We can't give the credit to anyone else. We did not pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have any boots. And if the redeemed of the Lord will not say God is good, then who will? This is not a matter of temperament or personality. The deciding factor as to whether or not we ought to testify is if we have been redeemed from trouble. Now, before you or I position ourselves as someone who was redeemed from a good home or a good life, Job reminds us that while our days are few, they are full of trouble. Now, perhaps you fall silent here because you have been the troublemaker. Because you were the one stirring up trouble. My grandmother would say, keeping up mess. Still, Jesus came because we were in trouble. Because we could not get out of the sinful mess we were in. He is called our Redeemer. Consequently, if we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we are the redeemed of the Lord. So why can't you say so? 'Tis the season to be thankful, to show and share in God's abundance. This month, our hearts, our hands, and our doors are open. We are in the giving spirit, buying more than we usually would and really can afford. I'm not praying for your credit card statement next month. And looking forward to, well, most of us are, accommodating family and friends. We are preparing a table for them, a table spread with all of our favorite meats and side dishes and desserts. It's a time to be grateful and to show appreciation. It is an elaborate display of hospitality, filled with all the colors and fragrances and symbols of fall, foliage and pumpkins, turkey and gravy. Like Black Friday, though, it is often for a limited time only. After we have placed the leftovers in Tupperware and waved goodbye to the last relative, we wrap up and place our Thanksgiving on a shelf to be pulled out next year around this time. Like community service hours required for high school graduation, we give thanks to meet a requirement. We give thanks because it is expected. We give thanks because it is appropriate. It's the right and responsible thing to do. It's treated like a kind of law, whereby Thanksgiving never moves off of our schedule and into our day-to-day lives. Thanksgiving is offered because it is commanded, not because it is a part of our confession and character as Christians. We give thanks because everybody else is doing it, because this is what we do when we come to church. So we're going to thank God at church from 8:30 until 9:30 a.m. or from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m. But after the message and the benediction, after we have greeted the pastor and gotten into our cars, we wrap up our Thanksgiving and put it into the glove compartment until next Sunday. Now, this is not to suggest that we are not a grateful people. Instead, I am inviting us not to keep it to ourselves, to share God's goodness with others who are not in this fellowship, and to thank God on a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis. I'm asking us to testify and to be a witness that God has been good to you, to not only be salt and light in the world, but God's trumpet. It is my hope that we would become a Thanksgiving people, that we would thank God without ceasing. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to the pastor, visitors, saints, and friends. Now say something.
On the Lord's side, over on the Lord's side. Ain't you glad on the Lord's side? Ain't you glad on the Lord's side? Come on over on the Lord's side. Come on over on the Lord's side. Joy over here on the Lord's side. Joy over here on the Lord's side. Peace over here on the Lord's side. Peace over here.
Yeah.